This is the original Rude Boy Neville Stabler from the Specials, and you're listening to Cat Tales Podcast.
You're listening to Cat Tales.
Hi, I'm Cat, and you're listening to Cat Tales. Original Rude Boy two-tone pioneer and former frontman for The Specials, Fun Boy 3 and Special Beat, Neville Staple has been at the forefront of the ska movement for over 40 years. Not only is Neville's two-tone legacy huge, but he has also been credited with bringing toasting, a forerunner of rapping, to the UK from Jamaica. He's performed, written, or produced hit albums and singles, TV and film soundtracks, including the 2019 Spider-Man blockbuster, not to mention receiving awards from Mojo and MME, as well as silver, gold, and platinum discs. To cap it all, Neville has received a Lifetime Achievement Award from Coventry's Foxford School and been awarded an honorary doctorate by Arden University. This is The One with Neville Staple. Thank you, Dr. Neville Staple, for coming on to the show. And I've got to start with the doctor bit, Neville, I really do, because that is the most wonderful accolade, isn't it? Was that an exciting thing at the time, or are you still over it? Tell me about it.
Well, Kat, I didn't expect it. It was all a surprise for me. I've always heard about people getting doctorate for music, for something else. And when I got it, I thought, me? Neville from the streets getting a doctor? So basically, people used to take the joke out of me. Oh, I've got a bad leg. I've got a bad arm. You know, but it was really nice to receive it, to be honest with you. Even with the jokes aside from the friends and stuff, it was brilliant.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to be recognised at that level is absolutely astounding, isn't it? And, you know, I have to say it's just reward, because your history and your career is packed with firsts and, well, I don't know, with success.
Well, I don't know about success. It's just something that I enjoy. I wasn't that good at school on that. But from America, when I went to America after the Specials from Boy 3 finished, I was working constantly. I just couldn't stop. And because the fans or the bands over there wanted to a bit of a special Neville, so I used to do music all the way from school right through. So when I got this doctorate, it was like, oh, it's all the work I've been doing. And I've been doing a lot, to be honest with you.
You know, that summarises it so perfectly. You know, you started the conversation there by saying, oh, I can't do technology and I haven't been done well at school. But you have, because in the School of Life and School of Music, you have excelled and you've been given your doctorate because of that. And I congratulate you. It's well deserved.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you for that. Thanks.
Looking back at those early days then, to think where you are now, you know, you were a young guy getting into music. How did all that come about, that sort of like that draw? Was there a particular sound or a particular person who flicked that switch for you to go, do you know, that's what I want to do?
You know, when I was in Jamaica, when I was born in Jamaica, at the age of 5 when I came over here, when I used to be over there, believe it or not, four years old, blah, 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 I still remembered like music being played there, our sound system out. Because it was, them days we used to live, it wasn't a house, it was a thatch in the bush. Mm. So if we needed to hear anything about the newspaper, they used to sing about it. So I grew up listening to music, so it was always in my blood. Came to rugby, my cousin and all my family, they were into blues, playing music. So basically I grew up with music, and it's always been in me, and I've been told from a young kid at school as well, oh, Neville, you're going to be an entertainer. Mm. Pete Waterman said the same thing. So it's built in me, music, entertainment.
Well, when you say it, you're describing there an absolute idyllic sort of youth, really. I mean, your very, very early days we're talking about here in Jamaica, but being surrounded by music and, you know, that culture must, you know, sort of seeped into every pore of your body at that early age. And you've taken it with you, haven't you, throughout your life?
Yeah, yes, I have. And like I said, even when I came to rugby from Jamaica, straight away, the music. It's all, honestly, Kat, it's always the music. And like I said, the only way in Jamaica they would know about what was happening is through music. And then the same thing kind of came to England. You know, with the punk, they used to sing about what's happening, blah, blah, blah. I grew up being told or listening to what's been happening.
Yeah, and you know, you've coined it well there with like even like the punk and early music, or well, any music has always really been about delivering a message, hasn't it? I think
yes.
That's great. That's what I find so fascinating with, you know, your story and your music. There is so much in there in terms of what you've got to say. Did you decide to sort of like inject all those thoughts that you had as a way of getting that message out and using music as the tool?
Yeah, because what's happening around you, you write about it, you see it, so you make a song about it. So basically, you're just writing about what's happening to you and what's happening around you, and you make a song out of it, or you can do a poetry out of it. But a lot of people says, oh, you've been in a band to write songs to make money. It's not that. It's the love of writing songs and performing it. So it's just in me like that, Kat.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, some people do think that it's all just about getting yourself known, making music and then making lots of money. But every performer that I speak to say that it is about, that it's a sort of like a need for them to perform. It sounds very much like you're the same there, Neville.
Yeah. Like I'll say, coming from the street,
yeah.
Right, and doing what I'm doing, sound system, you're doing it for the love of it. You're not doing it because, oh, I've got the sound system, I want to make some money. You just do it for the love of it. You go and buy records when you ain't got money.
Yeah.
Right, so when it's like the special started, all you could hear was, oh, yeah, you're going to make some money. But when we started, we didn't start thinking, oh, let's do this to make some money. We'd done it because we wanted to say what was happening around us because it was really bad at the time. And you don't think about, oh, let's do it to make money. I mean, eventually you get some and then it goes. But you don't start off saying that's what you want to do. That's what they do nowadays, the kids nowadays. And they want to go into it because of their money. Well, nowadays it was different.
Yeah, you've got that's a great way of looking at it. Nowadays, it is very much about people want to just, some people choose celebrity as a career, or it just seems so mad to ask children what they want to do. Oh, I want to be a celebrity, because they're surrounded by, you know, stuff on the TV, aren't they, and reality shows and all that. But, you know, when you were young and, you know, I mean, when I was young, listening to the Specials and, you know, the Beat and whatever, it was a revolution in terms of like saying what the youth wanted to say. And
yeah,
that
Kat,
seems to have been lost, doesn't it?
That's right. As well, Kat, they don't sing about what's happening around them. They sing about violence and stuff like that. And they think that will get them where they want to go. But to be honest with you, I cannot pick out a band now that's singing or saying something about what's happening around us. Maybe there is, but I'm not getting it like we used to get it before. You used to know that band singing about what's happening down the road and blah, blah, blah. Nowadays, you don't know what they're singing about. I love your baby and, you know, gun violence and all that.
Yeah.
It's not telling you news or what's happening around you. That's the thing with nowadays. And if you ask me who's doing it, I ain't got a clue. I'm being honest with you. I'm not going to say, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I still listen to old records.
Yeah, I think there's so many people, you know, of this sort of age group, I think. I'm joining myself in there with you, that, you know, we do look back on those days when you have, you know, music that was well written, it had something, that it had a voice, it spoke for people. And I think you're right there, that now it isn't, music isn't like that, is it? There's a different kind of formula, I think, that they look for success. And I think it's quite sad, to be honest.
Yeah, it is. It's a good-looking boys, young boys, or half-cladly dressed girls. That's what seemed to be selling, well, records. I mean, they'll do America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, and they're on it for about 4 or 5 weeks. Then they go and do a single. You never hear of them again.
No.
You never hear, And to me, that's kind of wrong. I say it's wrong, but that's what it is like nowadays. They just want to be quick, make it, and then they lose it quick.
Yes. Yeah, because there's not necessarily any sort of talent or direction, or no passion coming from within. It's coming from the wrong place, in my view.
Yeah, and what it is, they've got people writing quick stuff for them, these young kids now, throwaway songs, and it just doesn't work. It might work for the younger, I'm not putting it down, because the younger kids, they like that type of stuff. I'm just talking from my perspective about what's happening now. I'd rather listen to the old stuff.
Special music coming to the Bible. rude girls, to get up on your feet. Put your braces together and your boots on your feet. And give me some of that old rude stomping. Are you ready? Are you ready? Start stomping!
Listen up. This is the original Rude Boy Neville Staple from the Specials. And you're listening to Cat Tales Podcast.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I think that really is captured with your new album. Let's talk your new album, because it's so special. You're using that word special again, aren't you? But you know what it is? It is really special, from the Specials and beyond, this album. And I've listened to it, and what actually strikes me is that it has all those brilliant, you know, the essence of the past and where the Specials were, and you know, even a little bit Fun Boy 3 in there as some uplifting tunes or whatever. But you brought it up to date, haven't you? You've got some new song, quite a lot of new songs on there, and a nod to the old as well. Tell me what your thoughts were when you sort of like put it together.
When we were doing it, myself and Sugar and my wife, because we weren't doing nothing at all because of the pandemic and stuff. So we started doing a lot of writing, was writing what was happening, what we saw, what we're seeing, you know. And to do this album, to me, it's like a great movement from the Specials to what we're doing now. It's just like we've just gone a little bit away, because that's the type of feeling of music I do. So from the Specials to beyond, it's a song, it's an album that I love. It was written by me and my wife, Sugary. I just got into it, Kat. Because we haven't been doing anything for a while. Yeah. And normally we keep recording stuff and leaving it in the studio. But this one, this album, it's really, I really like it. I really do.
Is it because it's also come from a place when you weren't able to have any creative outlet, you know, with all the lockdown and stuff? A lot of it was written then, wasn't it? You know, you couldn't go on the road and perform, could you? So have you used it like a little channel to get that creativity out of you?
Yes, it was. And to be honest with you, it was quite difficult. We had to send it, the band had to send in their music they played to myself and Sugary. And we were in the studio, us both, putting it together. So it was great doing all of that. And like you say about the old album in itself, it's still got a bit of that special feeling in it. Mm. I just thought, let me just put a little bit of today in it, what we've got. So it's still got a little feeling of it, but we still wanted to capture something else, something new on the new album. It's hard to explain.
No, I get what you're saying there. You know, it has got that nod to your history, hasn't it? But it has,
yes.
But it certainly has captured the sound brought that sound up to date, and it's captured a lot of the messages of today, hasn't it, as well? And that's what I love about it. You know, I read through some of the lyrics as well, and clearly there's stuff in there about the, you know, the pandemic and, you know.
Oh, yes.
You know, you've got Black Lives Matters in there as well. I was reading between the lines with some of the lyrics on World Turned Upside Down and stuff. They're all obviously things that have been important to you or have affected you.
Like the world, that turns upside down. What is happening tomorrow? We don't know. The world is just turned upside down, and that's what that song is about. What's been happening in the pandemic, and what we're going to do tomorrow? It's just like you don't know where to turn. What's going to happen? So that song, that's about the world turning upside down. You can't do anything. You know, what you used to do, oh, let's go down the road, let's go and do a rehearsals. Everything's turned upside down, what are we going to do? So basically, that's what that's about.
Yeah, and you said earlier there about writing it differently because you were recording stuff and then you had to send it to the other musicians, which that would must surely have been a different approach for you. You probably didn't have to do that in the past, did you?
No. Everybody in the studio, like musicians, and then that's it. We play. You made a mistake, go back and do it. But the way we had to do it, it is live music, but we had to do it computer, if you know what I mean. We had to take the live music, and Sugar is good at the computer, so she does all of that. I'll go back to number 69. I ain't got a clue. I would say, oh, you know that sound, what you played earlier on? Could you play it again? That's nice. See, that's how I do it. So nowadays, when they send it to us, Sugary, she does the computer work because she's very good at that. But like I said, we used to play everything live.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
But then I suppose, thank goodness for technology, you know, because, okay, it's forced you to do it differently. But without it, with the lockdown and pandemic, there would have been no other way of doing it, would there?
No, they wouldn't. But the other thing as well, you say, Kat, when I'm on stage and I'm doing a song, it's with a live band, right? We don't have like an extra backing track, which a lot of bands, live bands have now. You know, they've got backing tracks running away. But with me, I couldn't use a backing track because if I'm watching the crowd and they're getting into it, I just carry the song on and let them sing.
Yeah.
Nowadays you can't do that because it's on a computer, it's being recorded, so they're playing against a recording track. If you see my shows, that's what I like to do. Introduce the band saying, if it weren't for me, the band, I wouldn't be doing this now, right now.
Yeah.
So I just like to play live, and a lot of bands now don't do it. I'm moving the subject.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying there. I think with using backing tracks and stuff, you're almost, I don't know, you're clipping the wings, aren't you, with your performances? Because what you're suggesting there is actually the audience are equally as important as the band.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is as well, you do when you're doing that as well, if you make a mistake, you can't make a mistake. A lot of bands make mistakes, the fans don't know that, but you might even get a little word wrong. If you're doing it on computerized, you'll be worried like hell. Oops, because if you're doing it live, you can make a mistake in the band, they know you, they can come and do whatever to get you out. That's why I like doing it live.
Yeah, and actually then what it does is create a unique performance every single time, doesn't it?
Yes, because we don't play this. We don't do it the same way every night.
Yeah,
you know, we'll play different. I'll call for an extra solo. I can see the fans getting into it. So I said, "This is for you, another solo. Give them another," you know, stuff like that. I play with the audience, which I'm going to be honest with you. That's how I am when I perform. I've done a bit of it in the specials, but my performance self only used to come out with my energetic moves. But I like to create something between me and the audience, friends. So when I was in my own band, it was easier to do it that way. I could go on for 4 minutes. But when you're doing the specials or another band, you've got a song, you do 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
I know exactly what you're saying there. It's almost like when you're in a band, you are stuck with the formula of the band, aren't you? Because there's more of one person to please. But when it's your own band, you're the driving force, aren't you?
Yes. And the band, which my band, they know how I perform. They know, oh, never mind, slip up here. I don't slip up along, but they know, because I've been doing that long, I can do it, like one, even one word, and they don't know, because that's just how I am entertaining.
Yeah.
I'm an entertainer as well.
Yeah.
So I like to, that little thing, oops, I'm watching you singing it at the front, and I'll go, say, oh, you're putting me off. Let's do it again. You know, I said, you're singing the wrong words, you're putting me off. So, you know, you play with them like that. Like, they're friends. They came to see you, they're friends. So you play like that with them, and he says, he can move over there, can't she? Or he can move, look at him going.
Yeah.
So you talk to the audience. A lot of bands don't do that.
Mm.
They just go up there, kicking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're there. The band wants to see you. The fans want to see you.
Yeah.
Get them involved. The bands nowadays don't do it. I don't want to seem like I'm going on, but that's what I see that's lacking.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's a different, just a different time, isn't it? And I wonder whether the expectation of the people who come to see you, because they are predominantly the same generation, aren't they, that saw you years ago, they're still expecting that same delivery, aren't they? I think they'd feel cheated if they didn't see you performing like that.
Yeah, but even now as well, you see, Kat, due to age... I'll say to them, I can't jump around like I used to. When you used to see me jumping around, you've got to do it for me tonight. and then they'll bring their kids and their kids into it as well.
Lovely. That's good then.
So it's going down, you know what I mean?
The next generation of little Scar fans, isn't it?
yes. But the thing as well, that's really bad for most of the bands now. They're not getting the outlet like we used to do when the punk era started and stuff like that. Everybody had a chance. If you was in a band,
yeah,
you had a chance. If you were that good, fine. If people were interested in what we were doing, fine.
Yeah.
That's the difference now, though. There's a lot of difference.
Yeah, I think the circuit isn't there anymore, is it, like it used to be? And I don't think it was even before the pandemic hit, but now the pandemic has been, you know, it's sort of like... made it extremely hard for bands now, and they're relying on just downloads, aren't they, rather than that learning the craft, as it were.
Yeah, I know. Sugar is telling me, you know, when they're doing this streaming, apparently they might sell about 20,000, whatever, and you only get about 20p or something silly. I don't understand it, but she was trying to explain it to me. So a lot of musicians are coming back now doing live shows. If you notice, some of the old boys, they're all coming back doing live.
Hey, people! Don't let life pass you by. Listen up. We'll tell you why. Listen up!
Don't let life pass you by. Against the wall, it's time to fight, not run. There's so much you
This is the original Rude Boy Neville Stage Performance Specials, and you're listening to Cattails Podcast. Listen up.
What I also love, just going back to your new album there, is that you've done that in vinyl, haven't you, as well? It looks absolutely cracking, I have to say. So you are almost like bringing back those golden old days in a way, aren't you, both with the performance and your recorded material on vinyl?
Yeah, vinyl is getting a big thing now, you see. Mm. Like more DJs, they want to use vinyl instead of CDs. So all that's coming back. But the only thing now, we've got to get the kids then nowadays to use a record player.
Yeah, you know? But they don't know what it is, do they?
Yeah, but most of them, they'll just get the vinyl for collection, like their moms and dads. And some of the young kids, they'll get the vinyl, because they collect vinyls now. So, like I said, vinyls is getting big again.
Yeah.
Like most bands, they're doing a lot of vinyls now, but...
Yeah. Yeah, especially this sort of age group as well, who remember vinyl the first time around.
Yeah.
With, and you used to sit there and it was lovely and tactile, wasn't it? And you read the cover backwards and forwards while you were listening. And
yeah.
It was a whole experience, I think, that isn't there, is it, with downloads? And even CDs, really, to an extent.
Well, honestly, gosh, CDs I've had to be playing, but we've got a record player anyway. We had one a while back now. Because everywhere we went, not everywhere, but where we went, a lot of people were just using CDs. Mm. We went to Jamaica, by the coast there, that's the coast. You'd expect them to play in vinyls, old ska stuff. You mentioned ska, they ain't got a clue.
No.
And vinyls, they ain't got vinyls.
Yeah.
So it's only now vinyls... It's coming out and everybody wants to get vinyl, which is great.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so lovely to see some of, you know, the bands like yourselves, you know, choosing to do that, because it does look so fabulous. And I'm sure, really, most people will probably prefer to buy it that way, you know, of your audience, would love to buy it that way.
Well, a lot of them do. Even some of them, we sign it, but we don't take the whole... plastic off. We're just going to pull the plastic away and sign it, because there's a lot of limited edition.
Yeah.
But they've stuck it on the manufacturers who does it. Instead of putting it on the record, they put it on the front.
Oh, right.
So we just take it up and put it on the record.
Yeah.
So it still says limited edition.
Yeah.
So even that's, you know.
That's more personal. I think, yeah. Mm.
So what do they call it? You know, with the band on it and stuff like that. I framed them because Sugary does some great. She does all the artwork. So most of them. Oh yeah, she does all the artwork, all the T-shirts. She manages the band, because I've been ill a few times. Didn't you know that?
No, why? What's been happening then? Tell me about it.
I had a really bad car crash, but that's going back a bit.
Oh, wow.
That's going back a bit. Oh, yeah, really, really bad. And then I got, the same night, I got, they took me to the police station.
Oh.
I had a fit over the wheel when I was driving.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it really wrote the car off. But I was lucky.
Damn.
So they took me down to the police station, right?
Mm.
They didn't let me see a doctor. Really, really, really bad crash. Never let me see a doctor. Oh, he must be drunk. He must be on drugs. That's what they're thinking. So they bring me straight down to this cells, right? I had another fit while I was in there.
Oh, my God.
I knew I did, because I could feel it when in the morning.
Yeah.
So Sugary came down and said, I should have asked for a solicitor, but I wasn't. I just had an accident.
Yeah.
So that was one.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, yeah, and because of that one... When I was with the specials on tour, the lights flickering, that was a bit wobbly. But I out of all of that, I got through all of that.
Oh, wow.
But I've had a few car crashes, to be honest with you.
God. So is it like an epilepsy you've got then, Neville?
I did. It was a little bit, yes.
Oh, my word. So you have to be a bit careful then with the lights when you're performing on stage, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. We tell them.
Yeah.
No, flicker.
Yes.
No, they all know. So that's why I said it's fine. Yes. Once you can tell them, it's fine. But even with the specials, we try to tell them. Sugary tried to say, well, Neville, blah, 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 is on doctor's tablets. But like everybody else, they took it the wrong way.
Oh, no.
So that's why I left. That's why I left the specials.
Oh no! Oh, set my out.
Yeah. You know the reunion. That's why after about 4 years.
Oh.
I mean, you know, I didn't want to leave because the fans were really getting into it, but because they were taking it the wrong way, and so you know, to save all the hassle, I just left.
Oh, but, what a shame.
But yeah, that's all right. That's where all this. This accident and make me want to determine to do more, which I was like that anyway, but now it's made me more determined because they'll say, oh, Nev, how come says you? I saw you today, you're walking with a stick, but look at you on stage. I says, well, that's my life.
So
I really enjoy it. If you come to the shows and you'll see that, you'll get a good show. You wouldn't think I've been in a few major car crash, but no. No. I've been fine.
The cat with nine lives, aren't you there? That's good. Good grief. You've got to be so careful, haven't you?
I know. I'm been a very, very lucky guy.
Yeah.
Career, life, experience. I've been very lucky. I cannot complain about anything.
Well, that's lovely to hear you say. I mean, if you're looking back on all these lovely things that have happened and, you know, what's, you know, where you are, is there one thing that stands out to say, do you know, that's been a highlight or perhaps the highlight's yet to come, Nev, I don't know, but is there something that you think that was great?
Yeah, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't go, I wish I'd done that, I wish I'd done that. That's how it was meant to be for me. So that was my path. So it's pointless me saying now, oh, I wish I'd done that. I wish it's too late, Nev. So I don't say that.
Yeah.
My life, what I've had, it's been brilliant with the ups and downs. It's been brilliant. Mm. I cannot complain. There's people having it worse than me. You know, so my life has been brilliant. I haven't complained. I've met my mum, which I grew up not knowing her.
Oh, really? And because it's, oh my goodness!
No, yeah.
So you went back to Jamaica and found her, did you? How did that? You know, tell me. I need to know this now. You've got my mind going.
Right. This is what happened, right? Because I started in the special, I could afford it then to go to Jamaica.
Uh-huh.
I left Jamaica at five. I hadn't seen my mom till I think I was 22 when I went back to Jamaica with the specials. I drove in the town. I can still remember how it was when I was young. We drove into the town. I got out this robot, they call it. So I'm walking down the road. I walk this past this woman. She walks past me. And I'm walking to go up to what I remember as just Bush, yeah?
Mm.
I went there and I said, oh, never did say no, never did. So I said, is mom about? No, she's gone into town to look for you. So when she came back up to the house, when she came back up, I said, I just saw you. She says, yes, I saw you. I said, Mommy. Oh, gosh, it's brilliant. Because from 5 years old, I could vaguely remember her. I remember where we used to live in this hut.
Oh,
our newspaper, our wallpaper.
Yeah.
Was newspaper, and you could hear the rats running in between it.
Blimey.
That's how I grew up, and there weren't no roads when I left when I was growing up. There's no roads. There was when I went back.
Yeah,
and all the wild animals, they'd vanished. Not vanished. They'd gone.
Yeah,
because they started building roads and cars and lights.
Really
so,
changed, and that
yes,
so that was in. I'm not going to say a short space of time, but you know, you're talking what 15 years or so between those two, you know, times. And look at the differences in what's happened over there. I don't know whether that's good or bad. What do you reckon? Is that good for the people, but bad for the environment? I don't know. Is it progress? Big questions. This is your next album here.
All right, Kat. All right. What shall we call it? Yeah. Yeah, so sorry, I missed the question.
Yeah, I was just saying, is it progress? I wonder, all those changes. It must have felt surreal because you've got. It felt the same, but yet it was different.
Yeah, I remember when I was young as well. We used to bath in the stream, in the river. That's where our bath was, just down below the house, just at the mouth of the cave. It was a cave, and to stop us going there as kids, our grandmother used to say, which I found out now, she's seen a mermaid in there.
Oh.
But the mermaid was, in them days, it was a big fish.
Oh, right, I got you.
Yeah, and with the old folks, Jamaican folks and African folks, they've got this, they have this thing when if they see a big fish or something, or they see something, like I saw a unicorn when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I said to my sister, did you see this horn? That horse with a horn in it? She says, yes. But somebody said to me, because I was that young, it could have been like a goat, you know, the ram goat. With the.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was always a horse, a white horse with a horn.
Oh, wow.
As a kid, I remember that, because we used to have to walk through bush to go to school. I'm talking about walking through bush.
Right.
No roads or nothing.
No.
Down, up, mud, then to go to school.
Oh, wow.
Right. So then I find out that there was this guy from Cuba, before, when I was there, I didn't remember this one. He had his own little zoo on top of the hill from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
He had monkey, he had... crocodile, a few more of the animals, like, I don't know. But then, as time was going back, like I said, with the lights coming and everything, frightening the animals, he got them shipped back off to Cuba, but I'm sure he left some in Jamaica, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Up by us. I'm sure he did.
Oh, wow.
And then because of the lights and everything, they probably just died out. That's where I come from. I come from the bush.
That's amazing. It's just, you know, it's so lovely to listen to you speaking, because my partner was born in Zambia, but he was the first white guy to be born in this missionary hall. And but the experiences that you're saying there about going in the bush and being barefoot and there's snakes around or whatever, it was like the norm for him growing up the same kind of age.
And yeah.
It's fascinating to see that start in life and where you are now. It's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I bet he would have told you what it was like growing up there, which a lot of people don't realise what it's like growing up in Africa, Zambia, or, well, any country that's like a third worldy.
Mm.
But like he must have seen what it was like barefoot, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he comes to England and it's something completely different.
Yeah, he did. He came over about when he was about six, same sort of age as you, and he said he didn't even have shoes. And wearing shoes for the first time, he didn't want to wear them, you know, and he got to the airport and he wanted to go to the toilet and he saw this plant in a pot. And so he went over to the plant rather than the toilet that's what he was used to doing, you know.
Yeah, I can well believe that. I'm being honest with you. Even coming over here on the plane, I was told, my brother says, I didn't like to eat the apple. I didn't like to put really dress up. No, I used to like dressing up because if I was getting dressed up, it was like we're leaving country to go to Kingston.
Right.
And that's how that trick just to come to a plane.
Yeah.
We all got dressed up and we thought, we're going to the town.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I'm BOAC.
It's incredible, isn't it? And so going back, you know, you just said about when you passed your mum, and you felt something, did you, when you passed her, but you didn't know it was her at the time in the street?
I kind of looked at this woman. I looked at a few oldish women I was walking past, just in my head thinking, oh, I wonder if mum looks like that. Oh,
yeah.
You know, that type of... But I only realised four or five women, one of them I looked at was her.
Oh, that's incredible, isn't it? Amazing.
Yeah, so when I was seeing her quite often after that, I brought her over to England. She didn't like England.
No, I got that. No. Completely different, yeah.
Yeah, so she came over and she wanted to go back because she wasn't, I mean, she was older, so she was used to Jamaican life in here.
Yeah. I mean, you coming over at 5, you can adapt, can't you? And then suddenly this becomes your world, doesn't it? Why did you actually come over then, Neville? Why did you end up coming to England?
Because my dad wanted us to have a better life.
Yeah.
He came over on the Windrush, right?
Yeah.
On the boat. Mm. And he was here working. Mm. And I guess he wanted his kids to have a better life. He saw that we could go to England. And I was like, I'm so glad for him for doing that. So basically, it's for us to come from Jamaica to have a better life. Mm. He came over here and he was working and knew that we could survive, blah, blah, blah. Mm. Or somebody must have told him, yeah, you can bring your kids over.
Yeah.
But he sent for us anyway.
Yeah.
We came over with a chaperone, a lady who was some family.
Amazing. What amazing story. It's, you know, and it's just lovely to hear it firsthand of that experience of you coming all that distance. And it must have been such a frightening experience as well as bewildering.
Yeah, but when I got here, I loved it.
Did you?
I used to be at school, right? And there was this white girl who used to sit in front of me. She had blonde hair. I kept on playing with her bloody hair. And the teacher used to say, Staple. I'm not used to that like that.
Yeah.
So I used to look and go, wah. That's Jamaican for wah. Wah. And stop playing with the hair. But to me, I've never seen blonde hair.
Yes, of course. Of course.
I've never seen blonde hair. So I've left Jamaica, 5 years old, yeah. 5 and a half maybe. This white girl sitting in front of me, nice blonde hair.
Yeah.
Oh, stupid guy here, stop playing with the hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Never stop playing with the hair.
It must have been like, you know, so fascinating though, wasn't it? You know, and that's what you do. You explore with your hands, don't you? Especially at that age.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just need to know what this is.
And the other thing, Kat, the first time I felt snow, I saw this white thing. Right on the floor, fluffy, when I went out in the morning. Oh, this looks nice. Puts my hands in it. Jeez. Chilblains, cold. And listen to what stupid done. Went back in the house because we had a coal fire. Put my hands in front of it to warm it up. Got chilblains.
Oh, no.
So I'm thinking to myself, I've come to this country. Oh, no, my dad bring me over here, and this is happening to me. As a kid, I was thinking as a kid, you know.
Oh, bless you.
So snow was like, whoa.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, when you first see snow. I can't remember the first time I saw it, obviously, because I was probably too young to remember that, but it's actually quite nice to think that you can remember that first.
I can remember that,
incredible awe of looking at this in bewilderment of what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
That's good.
This one's for all the bouncers. Big Monkey Man.
Turning a monkey on me. I
this is dedicated to you.
Cattails.
Oh, and do you feel now that that you know England's your home, is that you've been here the most of your life now? But do you still feel that pull to Jamaica?
Not really. If I do go, I don't go back down to the into the country where I was born. I rather just stay out by the coast. I mean, I know a lot of people from the coast. So when we stay at the coast, myself and Sugary, we've got a guy who drives us around in Jamaica. He'll take us to Kingston. We'll meet Derek Morgan, Stranger Cole, Buddy Lee Stryker, because Sugary brings them over to the Skarmouth twice a year.
Great.
Right? So she brings all the old Jamaican star English bands. She mixes them up. It's called, it's at Skarmouth.
Yes.
I keep saying Yarmouth.
Yeah, Yarmouth, yes.
And she called it Skarmouth. That's her thing. She put on twice a year. So brilliant. Most of these legends, which I grew up thinking, whoa, they're saying to Sugary, their wife, when she's bringing them over, yeah, man, I'd like to meet the rude boy. Yeah, man. The rude boy doing good, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I am saying the same thing about them.
Yeah.
I want to meet them.
Yeah.
Then they say to Sugary, they want to meet me.
Yeah, this is the great thing though, isn't it? You don't really appreciate where you are and what you've done and how you've inspired other people, you know. And that's incredible, isn't it, really? And you've got some of those on your new album as well, haven't you? Some of those.
Derek Morgan.
Mm.
We've got Derek Morgan on the new album. Clint Eastwood, you know, from General Saint.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Neil Davis from The Selector on it, and Derek Morgan, like I said, is on it.
Mm. I mean, it must have been incredible working with those artists that you're describing there as people who've inspired you. That must have felt, wow, this is all just, you know, the magic of this album is, you know, fabulous.
Yeah, like Derek Morgan, he asked us to do his tune, and I tell you who else has asked us to do stuff. Stranger Cole.
Okay.
One of the old artists from the Scar days.
Yeah.
And that's where we got the idea from Scar. I mean, I used to listen to it. Mm-hmm. But now over here, it was mixed with the punk.
Yes.
So those guys, Stranger Cole, Derek Morgan, Bunny Stryker Lee, Toots and the Maytel, she's brought them all over.
Mm.
So playing... I've been in the gigs with them, I spoke to them, pictures with them, and like I said, they're great guys.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd known them before, but like I said, that's life.
It is. It is indeed. And you mentioned Toots there, Toots Hibbert, Toots and the Maytals. Of course, on the album, you've also re-recorded Monkey Man, haven't you, as a tribute to
him?
Yeah,
dedicated it.
Yeah.
Yes, and dedicated it to him. Oh. Because I've been doing Monkey Man since the special started, because it's his version, but not our version, because I do a bit of chatting in the middle. But it's still dedicated to him, because, like I say, the specials got their Scar ideas from the legends.
Yeah.
And then we've got the punky feeling from the punks.
Yeah.
And then we put them together. So basically, the Jamaican artists are going, oh, yeah, my. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I'm Jamaican now. they'll say, oh, it's great that you guys are doing our songs, because over the years, 60 of the years, 50 years, we've never got anything for our songs. When they record in Jamaica, they're all lining up outside the studio. Mm. You come in, you sing. If you're no good, they tell you to go. Then they call the next one in.
Oh.
And then they probably give you 50 quid.
Yeah.
In them days, probably less than that.
Yeah.
So you'd record for them and they own it.
Yeah.
And they don't get nothing of it, even when it's played in England. So when we do it, their songs, we register it.
Oh, okay.
We put them down.
Oh.
But what they used to do, rip the ska people, artists off, it's like, you record it, I give you 50 quid for it, I register it in my name. Mm-hmm. So whatever's made of it, I get it.
Yeah.
So they get ripped off.
Yeah. That's
so when we do it, yeah, so when we do it, we put their names as writer.
Oh,
so when it goes into the our publisher, it's down. UB40 does it. Everybody does it.
Oh.
But in the old days, they never used to do that.
They've
lost out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, at least you're putting that wrong right now, aren't you? And that's, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all you can do in life, isn't it? See something that you think,
yes,
that's not right, I'm going to do it this way. And you're at that stage in life where you can do what you want, can't you? Rather than having to do what the record labels say, because you're now, you know, you're doing it your way with your band and your recordings, aren't you?
Yeah, but that was good with Two Tone as well. That's why Two Tone was formed, because Black and White.
Yeah.
Plus, we didn't want a record label telling you what to do.
Yes, that rebel.
So having a Two Tone.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Then again, you're having Two Tone, it wasn't like the record company, put that out.
No.
You'd bring the song to them, it'll go on your label. They didn't have to say, oh, we like it.
Right. Okay, so you had more freedom then, didn't you? I didn't really quite appreciate that, Neville, actually, that it was a little bit more free to record what you wanted or what you wanted to say. So, yeah, really for the people then. I love that.
Yeah, and now, can you write me a song about walking down the street? Can you write me? Then write it yourself. You know, even if you've got somebody in the studio with your producer or somebody else who might say, oh, let's try and put that on it. Like, oh, yeah, that's great. Da, 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 stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why if you had a band in the studio, you could be talking to, so what do you think about that? Oh, no, Neville, I could play a bit better. Ah, go on then.
Yes, yeah. So you've all had that input. And that's, I suppose that's when the magic happens, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Neville, it's been lovely and fascinating talking to you. It really has.
Let's try and catch.
Oh, I'm going to point everybody to your website, which I have to say is just absolutely superb. It's got lots of information on there. It's fromthespecials.com, and it's got lots of information about yourself and the band and your music, and of course where you're going to be touring as well. And that's and it's there for the taking. So people must go and book those tickets, because I think that it's going to be fabulous. A real party.
Yeah, and Kat as well. I've got to mention that Sugary, because without her, all this work wouldn't, all what you're seeing with the Neville Staple Band or whatever she puts up, she doesn't go to bed till like sometimes 4-5 in the morning working on stuff for the band.
I can imagine. And you know what they say? They say behind every good man is a good woman. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that is true. No, seriously. I'll go with that. So it'd be great to give her a mention for me.
Oh, I think she definitely deserves a mention. Hats off to Sugary, most definitely.
Oh, great. Thank you.
No worries.
So thank you, Kat. And I'm going to be listening to Kat Tales on podcast. So thank you again for this interview.
Well, thank you very much. And I'll speak to you soon. All right.
Oh, will do. Thanks,
you enjoy
Kat.
The rest of your day. You take care.
And thanks you again. Too. And
all
you
right.
too.
See you soon.
Take care.
See you. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Kat Tales with me, Kat, and my guest today, Dr. Neville Staple. The tracks featured are Ghost Town from the new album From the Specials and Beyond, Skinhead Symphony by The Specials, and Don't Let Life Pass You By and Monkey Man, again from the album From the Specials and Beyond. Visit fromthespecials.com for more information about Neville, Sugary and the band, where to purchase music, and when and where From the Specials will be performing live. To listen to this again and to other tales, visit cattales.co.uk.
You've been listening to Cat Tales.